And welcome back to this February 2nd Super Bowl Sunday edition of The Midnight Opinion. We are here with myself and the two lovely ladies this evening as our cohorts are on vacation, enjoying the heat as we freeze in the northern part of the state. Ladies, Michelle, Tyra, how are we?
Very full.
Very full?
Still full from eating, watching the Super Bowl. How's Tyra?
Good. Recuperating.
Recuperating?
Yeah.
We party too hard this weekend?
Tyra just needs food in her stomach before she drinks alcohol. That is what we learned last night.
Well, you know, if I hadn't been there, I wouldn't appreciate it.
But it was delicious. Everything I drank was so tasty.
You keep it down?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, till I ate that freaking iron pill, then ruined my stomach. But till that point, it was good.
So did we all party for the Super Bowl then?
I'd say overall, yes.
Overall? We all look sober.
Yeah.
We partied like old people.
Chillaxed and watched, yeah.
Well, I chose food over drinking.
Food over drinking?
Always.
Nice.
Definitely.
Nice. It's all I could do to stay awake, and I'm even a fan of the team that got completely smashed. So it was a complete disappointment, not just because the team that I was rooting for got their asses handed to them, like a little high school team. Better yet, they look little league. But yeah, it was a disappointing game. Even the halftime events were eh.
They could have done better all around. Even the advertisement weren't as good as they used to be.
No.
As last year, anyways.
Do you guys realize how many MetLife commercials I watched?
How many what?
MetLife. Holy shit. MetLife had every other slot. Damn. Yeah. Them and Pepsi.
Well, it was
Pepsi's Pepsi. Always that way, though.
Well, that was the halftime show, so I think they were the main sponsor.
Sure. Sure. So I need to go get life insurance and drink Pepsi.
I liked the halftime show better than the game today.
For real.
And it wasn't an amazing halftime show. Like, it was cool. It was good. Yeah. Like, they rocked it. But
he's a talented guy.
I did like what came before the halftime show, which is where they played on the bridge.
See, that was cool. It was sad that the halftime show didn't waste my time. That's the nicest way to put it.
Yeah. So overall, what'd you guys think of the game? The game itself?
Boo.
It was just sad. Like, it was just a sad situation. You could obviously feel the Seahawks had their heart in it.
Oh, they did.
A lot more.
They were clearly, like, they, you know, and I think Howie Long is actually who said it, one of the announcers there. He actually said it best when he said, these guys are so young and inexperienced in this big game that they don't know what they don't know. They don't know that they're supposed to get their asses handed to by a very veteran Denver Broncos team. And so they showed up and they beat the living shit out of them.
Yeah, that's the thing. They were almost like the underdogs.
It was the first
game, you know?
Well, it was the first Super Bowl where in every single facet of scoring, the team scored.
Yep.
Can you believe that? Every single facet of scoring in this football game, Seattle scored in. That's impressive. I mean, that team played 60 minutes of smash mouth, get in your ass, steal your girlfriend kind of fucking football. I was impressed with that team. And to be honest with you, I'm as far away from a Seattle Seahawks fan as you can be, but I was extremely impressed with these young men this afternoon. And good for them, because they showed up and they were ready to go and they were competitors and they kept their composure at the end of the game, which is impressive, because after that NFC Championship game with San Francisco, I was a little disappointed in them. But I was really impressed with the way that team conducted
itself.
That's what
tore me down. I was a little down on the Seahawks due to that 49ers game. I don't like a cocky team. Like, that's why I was gunning for Peyton. He is a good sportsman. Like, I respect him.
Oh, he's all class.
Exactly. But go the Seahawks. They played as a team. I felt like the Broncos didn't have the team aspect today. Like, they were all individual players on that field, and you could see it.
Well, and they weren't good ones. I mean, you've got guys that are pro bowlers, all world, all pro, you know, guys that are making max money kind of shit, and they're out there dropping balls in the open field, barely being touched. I mean, what the hell? I've never been so damn disappointed to be rooting for a team in my life as I was today.
Like, I think that was a lot of people.
Well, like, fumble it if you're being blocked. Don't fumble it when there's no one around you. Like,
I was impressed at how many interceptions there were.
Well, when you're like, hey,
just throw the ball away almost.
I mean, it was. You're on the other team. You want to borrow this?
Right.
It's like Merry
Let's
freaking
share. It's
Christmas.
Like South Park. Manning is hugging with the ball and saying nice things. And That's what it felt like, though. Kind of.
Yeah,
felt
no,
like
it
today.
It was very depressing because I think these two teams were actually very well matched on paper, and they showed up and they looked like garbage. I don't know how else to explain it. Like these men need to go home and look at themselves in the mirror, and if they're not kicking their own asses, they need to give me a phone call.
They need to give me a phone call.
Because I would love to tell them how they looked on national television, you know, on the biggest stage in any sports venue on the planet.
You know what I found myself wondering? If they go home and they watch this game later. Because, you know, so it just popped in my head because some actors actually won't watch their own movies.
Nope, they won't. Yeah.
So I wondered if, like, football players watch their own games.
Oh, I'm sure they'll do a film day. Like, they're going to sit down and study film.
Yeah, but do they watch the whole thing? Or just like, here's what you need to improve.
I don't know.
This is what you did well.
I don't know. If I'm
like
the head
highlights.
Coach. Actually, if I'm John Elway, the general manager / player personnel / does everything in the front office except for sign checks. If I'm that guy, knowing the kind of competitor he was, and he looked extremely perturbed when they flashed to him a few times up in the box.
Yeah.
He looked pissed.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody's losing their freaking job. All right, first of all. And second of all, if he doesn't pull all of them in and make them sit down and watch that humiliation over and over and over again,
he's not doing his job.
Yeah. I'd agree.
Because these grown men need to be humiliated like a bunch of little schoolgirls because that's how they looked on national television.
They're getting paid to do this shit. This is why I respect college ball versus the pros. Right. Like, they're out there for the love of the game.
Well, it's an interview for a job.
Yep.
That's basically what they're doing.
And these guys are...
Do you want to keep your job?
An intern.
Yeah.
Do you want to get a job? Show your ass up every single Saturday, and you got a job. But if you don't, then you don't. Well, now these guys, they got contracts. Once you have a contract, fuck, just show up. Make it to practice, a couple of media days.
But then it turns into, do you want to keep your job, and do you want to keep your pay?
Shit, you made $20 million this year. Do you think it really matters if you never work again the rest of your life?
For them.
I mean, that's my
opinion.
For the
rest of us, maybe not.
At $20 million, I couldn't spend that in a lifetime.
You know, one of my friends actually had a good comment. No matter how much you make, you seem to always spend it. You know, when you get that pay raise on your job, and you're like, oh, I'm going to save so much and put this away. And you never do. You keep finding yourself in the same situation.
Oh, yeah. The more you make, the more you spend.
Exactly.
I've heard that before. It's just like when I was in the car industry selling cars, I had my... desk manager used to tell us all the time. He said, "That's only money, man. You're gonna make more." You know, when we get all perturbed about having a bad car week or something, you know, not moving any product, it's like, "I'm not getting any commissions." He'd be like, "Oh, dude, it's only money. You're gonna make more. Relax, spend it. It's cool, whatever." So, kind of along the same lines, you know, we as humans find a way to put ourselves strapped out. We find a way to justify spending. We find a way to whatever.
But that's the good cycle, is you are always going to make more money. If you're not a lazy fuck, but you know.
Well, welcome to America. That's what
person.
We do.
America.
So commercials, overall, yay, nay?
Nay.
I only liked one. The Doritos time machine was kind of funny.
Billy, you're so old.
Yeah, that was good.
That was pretty good.
We talked about this earlier. I loved the Pepsi one where they played the bridge like a guitar. And I just thought the whole concept of that was cool. Like, they spun the table. Like,
well, they used the stadium as a knob to turn up levels.
Yeah, I thought that was just a cool idea. Like, go Pepsi.
No, that was
caught my attention.
Right?
I was pretty impressed with...
You caught the youth.
I was pretty impressed with a couple of them. You know, I was... Like, I thought that the one with Bruce Willis for Honda... I thought that one was actually pretty good, and then they took something that was a very serious issue, and they played with it and made it a joke, and that kind of pissed me off at the end of that commercial. So I'm not buying Honda for a while.
Ouch.
I mean, they did. They took something very serious, like, hey, you know, look around you. Here's all the people you care about and you love, and they made it like it was going to be this thing about safety and you know, and then they went very immature and
yeah,
I would agree.
Made it a joke, and that kind of pissed me off. I think the most well thought out commercial of the whole halftime was the one with the child in the car seat, strapped in the car seat.
Yeah,
you know, talking about
heartbreaking.
40%. Did you see that? 40% more likely to create fatality
by not buckling up. Yeah,
because you know, and I would agree with that. You know, I've always been a proponent of it, so.
It was really interesting. In the room I was watching with about 4 or 5 people were in there, and you can feel their entire moods just drop. Like, that commercial got everyone's attention in a very heartbreaking way.
They were all parents, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Every single one of them, all parents.
I can relate to that, obviously. Halftime show, Bruno Mars, Red Hot Chili Peppers, right? Isn't that who it was?
Yeah. I mean, go Red Hot Chili Peppers. They're older now and they can rock it.
Like, right.
They rocked it, but
like
I didn't.
I was stoked to come in and watch it. I was sad they only had one song.
I know.
Though. I was like.
I thought they were going to like come in and at least do like one or two to like join in for the halftime show, but no.
But Bruno rocked it. That guy has pipes. Like, go him.
Of course. Definitely.
Like, and he did not let down.
Definitely. Well,
and I loved his style for the halftime show. Like, it brought me back to like. Very 40s, 50s style.
Oh, he went old school jukebox.
Like, yeah, Laura's like, this is like disco. He's going retro.
Yeah, he went what they call jukebox.
Yeah.
In the old days. That's what he did. And
it was nice.
He's a very impressive, talented young man. He's classy as they get. I've been a fan of Bruno Mars since day one that I've ever listened to anything he done. And so I was glad to see he got the Super Bowl. I'm glad they brought somebody classy back to it. I could have done without Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah.
Out there half naked and they're retarded
right,
looking.
What the fuck was the shorts and the tights? What
right?
was that?
And then
I'm
no
sorry,
shirt.
What
no shirt.
And my mom's like, he's gotten a
and
little
then you had,
fuller.
That's
and
what
then,
I was thinking.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, he's good to be chunky.
And then the Why? Guitar player is trying to be like the AC/DC player, like with his pants halfway down his knees. And like, how are you even playing? Like,
and did you notice they weren't denim? They were actually the sweatpants type.
Uh-huh.
Because they were flexing.
Yeah.
So I was like,
I
wow.
Didn't even notice that.
They went from this classy kid in Bruno Mars to White Trash City,
which
USA.
Which is why I'm glad they brought it back to Bruno to end it off. He ended it really, really classy. And
I will agree.
I haven't looked into Bruno as much. Like, I know some of his songs, obviously. Yeah. I didn't realize how this kid can wail. Like,
right?
Go him.
He has a beautiful
and
voice.
So I watched it from a singing technique perspective. Yeah. So when people sing high, they tend to lift their chin up and stretch, and that's really bad. He had great technique. He was like right there. That was like his real voice. He wasn't stretching. That's just my singer side coming out. But go him. He got my respect tonight.
Well, and he's gorgeous. Let's face it.
He's just so baby faced. It's adorable.
Yeah, but he's gorgeous.
It's adorable.
He's gorgeous. I'll tell you what. I could almost man crush him.
Man crush Monday.
Man crush Monday tomorrow. Bruno Mars, you're mine, baby.
He's going to be at the top of everyone's list.
Probably.
Especially after this performance.
Well, and I was really impressed with him because, I mean, he showcased a lot of different things. Every song he sang was a song, I mean, as far as his music was concerned, was a song that he wrote,
mm-hmm.
That he produces, that he plays the instruments, most of the instruments. You know, like, we know he plays the piano and the guitar.
But go
We've
his
seen
drum
that.
Solo.
And
right?
dude, he,
I respect that.
Yeah,
I
he
didn't
jumped,
either.
I had no idea the man even knew how to play.
I didn't either.
And then he jumps on there, and he's rocking it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude.
Yeah.
By far rocking it.
He's going to get a call from Metallica tomorrow.
Probably.
Dude, seen you on the Super Bowl. We're going to kick this other guy out. You rocked it.
You're in.
Little Bruno Mars with Metallica. Can you just picture that?
I think it would change Metallica.
Probably.
Or they would change Bruno Mars, one or the other.
They'd start calling him Brutus Mars.
But then I love when they pan out to the fans and you just see those like girls out there. And they're like, that's the only reason they went to the Super Bowl was
well,
because they knew Bruno Mars
oh, yeah.
was playing. Like,
of course.
Oh, did you see, do you guys watch any of the pregame show? They were showing the difference in 1958. It was $7 for a Super Bowl ticket.
But back then, that was like how much?
Yeah, how does that
Well, yeah,
compare?
But it was $7. And
yeah, but
this
how much
year,
did they make an hour back then?
This year?
Yeah.
This year, it was $2,500.
But how much money did they make an hour
well,
back
sure.
then?
What was the dollar
But it's inflation. That's what we're
exactly.
talking about.
Exactly,
yeah. And it's been overinflated. There's no buying power on the dollar anymore. So.
Well, of course not.
Well, and going into the Super Bowl has been so... It's not the game anymore.
It's advertising.
It's the hype. It's the advertisement. Yeah, and so people.
How can
go
we
to
get
it
our product
the
out
hype.
There?
Yeah.
Well, did you see the very last commercial at the end that said we saved this much money by making our commercial at the very end? There's truth in that. It's expensive.
That was T-Mobile.
Yep.
Yeah. Which, by the way, I thought was super funny that right after all of those T-Mobile commercials throughout the whole game, Verizon comes at the end and tells you to pick which map has better service.
Yeah.
I just thought it was really funny.
I would say my viewpoint, but I don't want my job to
reflect
my viewpoint.
All right. Oh, enough Super Bowl. I'm sure people are full of it after that.
Right,
trouncing.
Just read your fucking Facebook feed. God.
Jesus, right?
I'm done. I didn't even have to watch the game.
Though, like, pregame, I had shit to say, and then probably in the first quarter after we were getting our asses handed to us. I said a few things, but other than that, I haven't been on Facebook since because I don't want to have to hear about all my Raider buddies bitching at me.
Curiosity, and I did see a funny post on Facebook. It was something, I guess, that I don't know the Broncos well. I guess they just got rid of someone not too long ago. Does that ring a bell to you? They got rid of a player not too long ago, like a couple years ago. I wish I could think of the name. But anyway, so it's Jesus, and he's like, I showed you Broncos. It was really funny. I wish I could remember the player's name now, but it made
Tim Tebow.
Maybe.
Tim Tebow, ultra-religious, classy guy.
Probably. That's probably yeah. What it was.
He had a good commercial at halftime. Anyway, I was going to tell you guys also, after leaving my dad's house, I'm listening to the radio, and there's something on there, and it's about how it's being deemed the Pop Bowl, not the Super Bowl.
From and two states.
Washington State and Colorado. Well, they have different phrases, it's become a real political thing all of a sudden because of the Super Bowl. And they've got the governor, or two governors, one from Washington and one from Colorado, both talking about how they, with the regulation of it, the income coming into the city or the state and different things there. And it's just becoming this big, we can move forward, we can really do some great things here and all of that. I think what we're missing, though, is how can we take something that's supposed to be the great American pastime, the ultimate sport is in football or baseball or basketball, actually, as far as that goes, hockey is, as of late, and even the Olympics, and there's always some political agenda there. And I started thinking about, okay, we're going to talk about marijuana, and that pisses us all off, or on the other side of it, it excites us all or whatever. But we're not talking about gay marriage. We're not talking about polygamy. We're not talking about all these other things in the sports venues. Well, why not? Why can we talk about these drugs, but we can't talk about the legalization of gay marriage or the fact that polygamy is also a religious choice or, you know, anything along those lines? Thoughts, ladies?
I just think that the mainstream, our American people listen to the mainstream too much. So they just agree with whatever is being fed into them. So the fact that certain topics are almost awkward to talk about, it makes them not accepting of the fact that it's an issue, I guess, is my big...
Well, I think on top of that, I think, you know, it's too difficult for us to sit back as people and say, oh my God, there's this legitimate issue. I mean, as a parent, I want to know what the future world's going to look like for my children, you know? So if we're not paying attention to the things that are happening, then ultimately what's happening is it's being pushed under the rug, and then I'm pissed later because my 10-year-old's being taught about, you know, sexually awkward things that I should be as a parent teaching them because I'm not paying attention to the political issues. So the mainstream's teaching us that, you know, we can talk about maybe marijuana, we can talk about performance-enhancing drugs, we can talk about anything as long as it's really not a social issue, it's a political issue.
But think about it in the social issue standpoint. Our government wants to rule us. I'm sorry, our government wants us to think a certain way. And these political, social issues that we're dealing with could cause people to have a loud voice and want to talk back. And our government doesn't want that.
Well, no.
They don't want us to feed out. They don't want us to have that voice. So they're not going to encourage it by talking about it.
Oh, no.
They make it seem like it's taboo.
Yep, exactly.
Shun taboo, the non-believer.
Because they don't want you to have that voice. They don't want the chance of you not just thinking their way.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Speaking of the government, what a bitch was Obama in that pregame interview. Oh, my God. He couldn't. I mean, the man's got no spine. Anyway. That was my little soapbox. No, you know what? I'm not off it yet. Let me get there for a second. All right, this fucking coward.
A few more seconds.
Yeah, this coward, all right? He couldn't even give you a damn score. He couldn't even commit to giving you a score, you know, for the game. Nope. I mean, what does this man do other than take our rights away and try to distract us with bullshit? First of all, what the hell does a president have time when we're in an economic crisis that we are in? What the hell does he think he's doing spending however much time it took for him to prepare for this pregame show? The hell with him.
To not even say anything. No.
Coward. It's, coward. He just mumbly bumbled around garbage.
Our Super Bowl is so American. It's so American. And we need to see that from our president, that he's like American in that too. And he didn't give a fuck today. He didn't care.
No, he didn't.
He didn't care. Like...
He was the same bullshit. He's like, well, you and your media organization, Fox. Well, bitch, you're on the Fox Network, which is airing the Super Bowl, doing an interview. Bill O'Reilly owned that bitch today.
Yeah.
Okay. And I was very impressed. I'm glad they had Bill O'Reilly do it. And I'm not a big fan of Bill O'Reilly. I think he's kind of a bigot.
Bill O'Reilly.
But I have my own reasons for that because I think he's a bully and a bigot, and he's no different than half of the other ones out there. But
I think he does that for his job, though. He likes to get an argument for his job.
I would agree with that. Anyway, back. All right. I'm off the box.
I'm dumping the soap. Let's go back.
Anyway, but you know, we have these social and economic issues that are sitting right in front of us, but we choose to sit and talk football like we started our show, for instance, versus talking about issues that really matter or talking about something that's outside of the box, and it's because we're fearful.
I think we're afraid of hurting other people's feelings or having different opinions than them. They want all of us to just have the same opinion, and we don't.
It's a cover. It's easier to just talk about that than get into real issues.
Exactly. Because
that's where you have the differentiating of opinion. And it makes for real conversation, but who really wants that?
Look at the conversations between people nowadays. It's always the light subject, never the heavy duty ones that actually get down to know someone. It's easy.
It's uncomfortable. Yep. I mean,
but because we've made it that way.
Agreed.
We made it uncomfortable. It's taboo.
Well, we have. That's true. I mean, you know, folks find out that, obviously, with my prior service military experience and then the fact that I am a combat vet, you know, they want my story, but they don't want my story as an honest opinion. They want me to give the mainstream George W. Bush hoorah kind of version of it.
Yeah. I loved serving my country.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Stars and stripes. I'll bleed forever. 340 million people in this country. I do it for them.
It did not affect my life afterwards or anything like that.
They don't want you to go, hey, with the shit I seen overseas and the politics behind it, I think that the last 15 presidents we had were all bullshit. And you start having any type of opinion outside of the mainstream box, and now I'm that disgruntled veteran.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm a terrorist.
Mm-hmm. Well, we are all. We all are now.
Right.
Technically speaking,
we're all on government terms. Oh, yeah.
The sad thing is our country was founded on the fact that we are all different people trying to come under one thing.
Right.
And the fact that they're trying to change us to be into the same person. They would love if we were all drones.
Most of us are turning into that.
It's true because it's easy.
Exactly.
Zombie
no
apocalypse.
No one wants to work anymore.
I go to work. I get money. I go home. I pay the bills. I try and fit in with this cookie cutter life in the suburb with the boxes that all look the same.
Little boxes
exactly.
on the hills.
Sorry, I'm old fashioned. I want to go live on a hilltop by myself with just my family and be away from this cookie cutter society.
See, I'm the exact opposite. I think we have the same opinion, but I'm the exact opposite. I want to be right in the middle of the city. I want to share my voice with everyone that's going to listen to me. Like, I want to be right in the middle of it, you know?
But do you want to live in the middle of it?
I have not. I'm going to live there, so I don't really have an opinion. I'm really excited to go live in a big city. I have never been there. Everything about it excites me. I understand that there's going to be the good and the bad.
Everywhere.
But I'm stoked about this new opportunity, and I will talk. And
well,
good.
If you
listen to me, awesome. If you don't,
to touch back on a point that you made earlier, Ty, that you know our country was founded on the fact that we are supposed to stand up for ourselves and abolish a government that is unjust and unrighteous, and that infringes upon our God-given rights, you know, which is the law of the land ultimately. And they did that whole thing pre-kickoff to the Super Bowl. And how many people do you think actually listened to what they were saying? Because if you, you know, read the preamble to the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, any of it, even the Constitution itself and the Articles, it talks about how we as a people have the power to eliminate a government that is unjust and start over. The government has a different idea.
No, it's true. It's
and now we're terrorists if we want to do that.
Going back to Obama in his State of the Union address that he just gave, he basically told the legislation to go fuck themselves and he'll do what he wants. And they clapped for him. They cheered for him taking away their
vote. Not listening.
Exactly, but
they're just like, oh, we have to clap because we're supposed to. Let's clap away.
It's just, that's what's sad. This is a big deal. Listen to it. He's taking away our rights.
Well, you know, some of the things he's doing and the way he's doing it, I think we've seen this back several years ago, and I'm talking several years ago, in the 30s, 20s, 30s, and 40s, there was a particular man that was ultra-intelligent, very articulate, much the same as President Obama, that just kind of took it upon himself to do whatever the hell he wanted through executive power. Granted, it created our Second World War,
But he sounded smart while he was doing it.
But he sounded extremely intelligent, and he done it in a very comparable way to what we're seeing now in our own government. But those of us who don't want to have that tough conversation don't want to see the correlation there.
No, so my question is, when does the cycle break? When do we talk about it?
When we the people are finally tired of being somebody's little minion, or when we the people are tired of the oppression, and we the people are tired of working for someone else's gain, and we're willing to stand up and have an opinion about anything. And it doesn't matter what that opinion is, as long as you have one and you're willing to stand up and stand next to it.
See, and the scary part, but the good part, but the hard part, it literally takes 1%. It literally takes like 49% to 51% to overthrow the government and have an all-out rebellion. Like, literally, it can take 1%.
And the majority of those people are too scared.
Exactly. They're too scared to care about their own life. Like, it's being controlled for them.
And maybe not even just, they're not just scared. They don't care. A lot of people my age, when I ask them what's going on, like, politically wise, I don't know. I try to stay out of it. It's the same, what's the answer I get.
What age group is that?
Around 20s.
So like, 20 to 25.
Early 20s.
You know. Yeah, early 20s. Yeah. And it's always the, I don't think about it. It doesn't really affect me. And I just look at them like, are you kidding me?
Well, shit, Minecraft, like, Minecraft is far more important. Or
Minecraft.
Yeah.
It's addicting.
It comes from laziness. It comes from
lack of knowing.
It does.
It actually affects
And the fact
them.
Is, if you don't know, you don't know what you're missing. So if you're okay with just going with the flow and you are unaware that it could be any different,
yeah,
you're okay.
Well, no, exactly.
And that's what sucks is I feel a lot of people our age are just living in the norm. Like, they go to work every day, they pay their bills every day just because they have to. They don't understand that they're paying more and don't have to, or they're getting screwed in this direction because they don't look into it. They don't choose to be more knowledgeable. And honestly, it's sad because I used to take that standpoint of, I don't care about politics, I don't want to get involved.
Well, and then you
but
learned.
I do now. And yes, I'm a little more of a pissed off person because I research into it, but
yeah.
Well, it is
but
scary.
But you realize what's going on. Uh-huh. You're a little more informed.
Well, you think about before you had this knowledge, how easy it was to find happiness in life because of the being blind or being
Ignorance
asleep.
Ignorance is bliss.
It was, and it was. And I remember that as a young 14-year-old male where all that mattered is, you know, being cool or how my hair was done up or
how many friends I have.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Am I going to hang out with my bros today and... You know,
oh my God, what did she say about me yesterday?
Right.
Like,
oh yeah. And so it was a lot easier to do that because all I had to worry about was in the now. And so all of a sudden I'm becoming more and more educated every day on the BS that is not just our government, but anywhere in the world right now. There's so much corruption and there's so much oppression on the people themselves.
Well, and you just realize you're not in a Terrence bubble anymore.
No,
like,
right.
The world affects you. Like, see it or not, it's still going to affect you.
Well, and we got to look at our posterity, you know. We're so fearful to know something and not, you know, because we're going to go to bed scared and have to think about it. And I'm going to wake up tomorrow with the same fear and the same trepidation towards getting out of bed and going to work because I know something that is scary.
But you've seen it go on this downward spiral. So if we don't say anything about it, what's the generation below us? How much shit are they going to have to deal with?
Oh, they don't give a shit. I'm wrapped up in Halo 3, baby.
Exactly.
Look how many achievements I unlocked.
There's going to come a point in their life where it's going to smack them in their face.
Maybe.
Or we're gonna become under a dictatorship, and then their life really will suck. No more Xbox for you. You're just going to sew all day like China.
And right. I feel, ladies, that we are far closer to that end than I think most of us realize. You know, and the fact that there are all these things out there that give me hope, but at the same time, I am very fearful for our generation, more specifically you two generation being much closer to that younger 20s age than myself. It's time for us to stand up.
But this is why we have this show. Like, we're talking about it. Listeners talk about it. Like,
we're
we just need
break
more
that
voice.
Cycle.
We just need more voice. That's all we need.
We'll wake them up.
Stop being cowards. You're willing to dye your freaking hair purple and wear earrings and skinny jeans and shit.
You want to make a statement? Open your mouth and say something worthwhile.
The greatest men in our history of sports all had a political view on things. You know, we had Broadway Joe. We had Muhammad Ali. Mm-hmm. We had, you know, Joe Frazier. I mean, we had guys that were out there really... you know, pushing for certain things in athletics and in sports and stuff. And it's really disappointing that at this day and age, we're too scared. too scared to talk about things that might give us a negative outlook on our, whether it be our friend groups or whatever else. But on a lighter note, girls, we're going to break. I feel excited to come back from this break. I think that we have a lot more politics. I think we have a lot more anti-mainstream. I think we have a lot more opinions that we can throw at our audience.
That we can. We can get into the real nitty-gritty. We'll be back.
Welcome back from break, party people. Ladies, fun break, huh?
Excellent break.
Excellent break. Excellent break. You know, Ty, when we were out on break, you brought up a very good point about the morality of man. You know, how confused we are about what's truly important. And I want to turn it over to you for a minute because I think you made some really good points out there. And it wasn't where I was going to go with this, but I think that's where we're going to head right now because you really you set me on fire.
So let's lead it in. What do you guys know about Gandhi? What do you guys know about Gandhi's movement?
I mean, the dude set his own ass on fire. I mean, dedicated.
For what cause? Was it anything to him? Or
peace.
Was it towards his people? Exactly.
Peace, right?
It's all about peace. It's all about understanding. Here's the thing that sets me off. Gandhi's big thing was he starved himself for a long time just to bring peace. There was a man here who made a big standpoint, and he did interviews, all this stuff, where he was going to starve himself until same-sex marriages were not allowed in Utah anymore. And it brought up, a lot of people referenced it with Gandhi, and that really pissed me off. Like, Gandhi did this for the peace of people and for the understanding of people. This man did it to take away people's rights and people's ability to be themselves. And that's not fair to anyone. Peace is understanding your fellow man. So that was really frustrating. Luckily, it moved past. Utah is getting back in on it. So the thing is same-sex marriages. A lot of people think that it's something that just happens in your brain that you can change. I have friends that go to conferences to change that, to almost beat out the gay in them. And that's wrong. That's the person they are. Love who you love. And here's my thing is, if a gay man loves another gay man, if you're a straight man, he's not going after you. So why does it affect you? And why do you have such a big opinion on it?
Well, why do I have to hear about it? That's my question.
It's not affecting you. It's just let them
be
that
person. It is, because everywhere I turn around, I have to hear about it, Ty.
And that comes back to the media. That comes back into, we are one nation under God. And people throw, God does not agree with gay marriage. God set up a man and a woman.
I would agree to that.
And that's how our viewpoint is. That's how...
But we also have the freedom to do as we please, which is how we brought in other religions that don't necessarily believe in our God.
Exactly. And we are told that we encourage acceptance of all people, but around every other corner, it's being thrown back at us that we don't and that America isn't for it. It's one of those taboo subjects that they don't want to talk about.
Well, we're very contradicting.
Mm-hmm. Because I don't want to hear the voice of people saying back that, no, that's wrong.
You know, I don't have a problem with people doing what they want to do until the banter or the being pushed upon me as a straight man. Why do I have to hear about it all the damn time? Why are you going to infringe on my rights as the few onto me as the many?
And that's wrong.
And why are my rights being infringed upon and my beliefs being infringed upon by a social group or by a certain belief? And I'm being told that there's nothing I can do about it because they have equal right. Well, they do have equal right. They have equal right to believe what they want to believe without forcing it on me. Do I agree with the way this gentleman that you're speaking about is going about it? No, I don't. I really don't. However, I do believe that if you want to be gay, be gay. That's great.
Flame out.
That's you. Yeah. Get your flame on, girl. Right?
Or boy.
You know, I really don't have a problem. I mean, to the extent of my own mother is actually gay. So to me, I'm indifferent. I don't care. You do you, I'll do me, but stop pushing it on me.
But I have to agree. We've talked about, I think in a previous show, That is just the hype right now. Mm-hmm. That's what they're trying to pass. They used, you know, for the freedom of slaves was a really big issue. The women's rights was a big issue. So now it's equal rights, and eventually it'll simmer down if it gets passed. Mm-hmm. And it won't be such a big issue, so you won't have to hear about it and see it every single day. It'll just be norm.
It just comes,
if it passes.
It just comes back that it's wrong on both parts, and it's taboo on both parts. No one wants to talk about it.
Well, yeah.
It comes back to the fact that the gays feel like they have to flame out a little more because they're being told wrong. Mm-hmm. It's kind of the same subject when we talked about marijuana, is they're being told it's wrong. Yeah. They're just trying to get people to realize that it's not.
The only thing I will have to step in, if they're teaching that it's correct in schools, that it's okay, they need to teach both sides.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they need to, they take God out of schools, but in reality, they need to have maybe a class that teaches about all of the religions to make it fair. Like, I'm not saying take all of it out, and don't put just one in and single it, but inform everybody. Make it fair for both sides. Make it fair for the homosexuals and the heterosexuals. Don't make either of them feel like they're out of place.
Well, and that's where we miss is we're so busy trying to push our own political views or our own religious views on the next guy that we completely miss the fact that, you know, we are allowed as human beings to carry our own opinion. We are allowed to carry our own beliefs. But the second we become a society that wants to infringe on the next man's rights, then we're wrong. We're wrong. I mean, God did not intend on it. I mean, even Jesus loved everyone. So if you're a Christian, Jesus was forgiving and he loved everyone equally. It didn't matter what if you were a sinner or you weren't. He still loved you equally. And there was purity and peace in that.
And on that note, it's not our job to judge them. For those who are religious, it's only up to God.
So I agree.
Stop fighting with them.
I agree.
It's just, it goes back to the same thing. Like, everyone sins differently.
Everyone does sin differently.
Like, just deal with that. Understand that and you'll be way happier.
Exactly. No one's better than each other. No religion is better than each other in our own eyes.
See, because you have a certain way of life. Exactly. You still struggle.
Of course.
They have a certain way of life. They still struggle.
Exactly.
If everyone just understands that we as a community are all facing struggles,
well, not
then
only,
why are we trying to cut each other down?
Well, not only that, I think we've all lost, just forgotten that we're the same race. We're fighting against each other instead of uniting together and just being like, you know what? You're human. So am I. That's awesome. You love someone. I love someone. Okay.
So would you agree that it doesn't matter? It doesn't matter what color, creed, race, religion, sexual orientation.
No.
It doesn't matter. There are good and bad people in this planet.
Exactly.
And for us to try and push our views on the next man makes us wrong.
No, yes. And it goes back to just being a good person.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, just be a good person.
You know, one of my friends who is not religious at all had a good point. He goes, you know, I don't want a religion to make me be a good person. I'm a good person because I want to be one. And I have to 100% agree with that.
And that's, everyone should have values as a human being.
Yes.
Realize you're dealing with other human beings. Mm-hmm. You know how to treat that person appropriately.
You know, the number one golden rule I got taught back in elementary, treat others how you want to be treated.
Wow.
It's
amazing.
It's
as simple as that.
It's so
it really
simple
is.
And it's so good.
And that goes back to like a lot of our laws. If you don't want your family to be killed, don't kill someone else's family. If you don't want your stuff stolen, don't steal other people's stuff. If you want to be treated respectfully, treat other people respectfully. Like, really, it goes hand in hand with everything we're facing. It really does.
And that's just, honestly, you just touched down on the key reason why I brought this up. Is,
yay,
honestly, the whole gay issue, the whole anything like that, is not affecting you more than you're just not willing to accept another person.
Okay, so here's a new question. I'm going to take you off on a whole different tangent, if you will.
Bring it.
Whole
ready.
Different tangent.
Bring
so
it,
you guys, you guys know about Sheriff Arpaio, right?
Yes,
down
sir.
In Arizona. This guy, all right, he's taken a lot of shit over the last several years because he is under the impression, and this is my take on him, mostly my own take on him, he's taken a lot of crap because he's under the impression that if you've committed a crime, which ultimately has taken or infringed upon someone else's rights, you don't deserve rights. You are no longer human. You are property of the state. So his inmates desecrated, this is the latest and greatest on this man. His inmates were desecrating flags, United States flags, in their cells. So he put them on a bread and water diet.
Mm-hmm.
And he's taking a lot of hell about it because they're saying that, you know, it's a civil rights thing, it's a this, it's a that. At what point when you commit a crime, did you forfeit your rights or did you?
I'm torn on that subject.
Well,
like, I agree and disagree, but
Yeah, I have to agree with Tyra. On one side, you're in America burning our flag, meaning you don't care to be here. Why should we treat you like we treat the rest of people who actually love this country? But at the same time, you're still a human being. That one's...
So he's still feeding them.
And, no, I know.
And he's making sure that they're receiving the proper amount of calories to sustain body mass and so on and so forth.
I understand that.
And he puts them on chain gangs. He's got the tent city, which most folks already are very aware of with the man.
But that's
personally,
where I'm
I support him. I support the man. He's not out, you know, completely degrading them or anything like that. He's just saying, hey, you want to be a viable part of society? You have the right to go out and pursue your happiness. At what point that you broke laws that society said are acceptable or not acceptable, you infringed on someone else's rights by committing a particular crime.
You no longer get the same privileges
because you forfeit those when you decided that you were above the law.
No, I agree with that wholeheartedly. Yeah. Like you had the chance to have kind of a
free life,
a frou-frou, nice, happy, nice things life. You decided to take that away from someone else, or you decided to not be a valuable member of society.
And take
You kind of took it away from yourself. Why should you still be able to have the great gifts that this country can give you?
I'd agree with that. Well, in all honesty, they had a little article about it that the people in jail are treated better than our old folks.
Yes.
In their homes, they get better food. And
they are forced to go outside for a certain amount of time, where you get these old folks homes where they have to stay inside all the time.
Yeah. And they have a bedtime, you know, et cetera,
et cetera. They're not pushed to do any exercise to keep their body functioning, whereas these inmates are.
Exactly.
And they're given these nice 3 meals a day and all this and this. Even with him infringing on those rights, like, the inmates are not tied to a bed all day.
Nope.
So how degrading is it because he made them wear pink shirts instead of... the normal orange or whatever else.
That's awesome.
He's put them in pink.
That could be for breast cancer awareness.
It's just putting them on a lower level. It's taking away the right for them to like freely wear what they...
Is he doing that to everyone? Or just the one who burned the flag?
Oh, no. There was several inmates that they desecrated the flag. They wrote on it. They put it in toilets. They threw it away. They cut it up.
Okay, so it's for everyone who's ruining the flag.
Yeah, so that was his thing was you're on bread and water for 7 days. If it happens a second time, you're on bread and water for 10 days. It happens a third time. God only knows what he's willing to do. He's also the one that is under a lot of heat right now because of the profiling. You know, the profiling of the illegals in Arizona, in Maricopa County, I believe is what it is.
See, my opinion, people who don't want to be in America should get deported. That's
get
like,
out.
If you don't want to be here, then don't be here. Get out.
Well, and here's my thing.
Enjoy your freedom or shut up. You know, like, respect us.
And I agree with what he's doing because a lot of other people, when they go to jail, they have a simple, happy lifestyle. They are told when to wake up.
Yeah.
They get to eat. Three times a day, they have TV, they have books to read. They don't have the stresses of real daily life. So it's almost easier for some of them to be incarcerated.
They don't have to work to get paid for. Like nothing. Like actually there was a story, whether it be true or not true, I don't remember. But growing up, I was told the story that, take for example, a homeless person has no shelter, no food, no way of paying it. What does he do? He just commits a misdemeanor. So he can go to jail over the winter. Over the winter or whatever is so hard, and he gets free food, free bed, social time with people, you know, exercise for free. Because we taxpayers pay for everything.
Because we pay for that. We're paying for them to commit a crime and then be...
And they just live.
So it's Dan Pakoda, who is the legal director for the American Civil Liberties Union in Arizona. His words exactly, he says, it's certainly not illegal what he, Sheriff Apayo, is doing, but what he is doing is certainly bad policy. He said it's just another vindictive policy that has nothing to do with running a good jail system. Thoughts?
I disagree.
I think there's a lot of worse things he could be doing.
Exactly. He's not. We get those cops that get away with beating someone half to death on the side of the road.
Yeah.
He's not taking advantage of his power. I think he's giving what they deserve.
He's giving them a small lesson. Nothing. He's not like stripping them of all their food. He's just giving them the luxuries or taking away the luxuries of having these nice meals.
That's, so hopefully they realize and will step and be like, hey, I need to do this better. It's like when you deal with a dog.
Yeah.
You yell at them. You hit them for doing that. If they learn, they don't get hit. If they don't learn, they get hit again.
Yeah.
It's basically what he's doing to them.
Or like a little kid, you take away their favorite toy until they learn. So what is he doing? Taking away their, not necessarily their favorite food, but their
accommodations. Like,
yeah, exactly. That's it.
So
it's really not that bad.
One other thing that there's actually a lawsuit on right now with him is that Apio's deputies have racially profiled Latino drivers that was held up by the United States Supreme Court, by the way, that it is okay. It's not illegal. It is just simply something that people are not in agreement with in the racially profiling of the Latinos. The lawsuit is testing whether the policy could target unauthorized immigrants without profiling U.S. citizens and legal residents or of Hispanic origin. Profiling? Okay? Not okay? Because I know I do it on a daily basis. I see somebody rolls in looking like a gangbanger. Yeah. I'm keeping their ass on check.
Well, technically, as human beings, we judge every single person in a split second. Whether we vocalize it, whether we act upon it, we immediately judge them. It's inevitable.
Well, and the sad thing is you judge them because the higher percentage of the people that you've seen that are like them have proven these points.
But that's in every single race, not pinpointing at any. There's whites, there's Mexicans, there's, you know, blacks. Everyone has their own typical person.
And I think it comes from a cultural aspect. All of our cultures are so different.
Yeah.
So they have little cultural tics that are different from ours. So it's different. So sometimes it's viewed as scary.
Yeah.
And that's sad. Different is scary to us. I don't think it's right, but I think it is a human thing that people do it. I definitely think it should be taken into consideration a little more. Like, don't just pull someone over because they're Hispanic.
Like, I would agree.
Well, they're not allowed to, obviously, because of the Constitution of the United States says that you have to have a reasonable cause.
But anything can be reasonable.
But
cause.
But the sad part is how many times do they pull out over someone due to a cultural basis,
yeah,
but they still find a reason to cart them to jail? Like, that's why.
It's very oppressive. I do agree with that.
I'll have to say there's two sides to this.
Mm-hmm.
There are the cops who might pull them over because they're racist, but there are also the people who are playing, like, the poor me syndrome. Oh, you pulled me over because I'm whatever race I am. You know, they play that card a little much. I had friends that I was over, you know, as a worker, and they were like, oh, you're only making me do that because I'm this. No,
you're putting that on yourself because you said that.
So people pay, I think a lot of people play victim too. So I think it goes both ways.
Well, and even with the cop scenario, it's a job like any of our jobs. Like,
well, you
see them doing it over and over again.
You have the different personalities where sometimes they have their own personal racial issues and they're going to take advantage of that policeman power that they have. And they will get away with it because they were the policemen.
Okay, so a little more history. Sheriff Apio is also a senior member to a group that is called the Oath Takers, which is a group of sheriffs that have gotten together and they said, we took an oath to the Constitution of the United States and we swore to uphold it. So him being someone who believes in the Constitution of the United States and the commitment to our country, do you believe that his deputies would actually be doing something shady like that?
Yes, I could believe it because he's the one that took the oath, not his deputies.
No, they did also.
Well, there's a lot of dirty cops that take oaths anyways. I don't think it really matters.
But do you believe that he would be able to, like, that he would not bring the kind of men in there that would be dedicated to the same cause? Because ultimately he hires them. They're not elected. He is.
Well,
and he is a six-term sheriff, so he's been at this for a minute.
That note, everyone is different, though. You can think they're a good person, but what they're hiding underneath, they might be really good at hiding.
It comes out in those scary, serious situations.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that won me over for the sheriff, though, is he used to work in the narcotics department, is what I read.
Mm-hmm.
So he's seen the shittiest, shitty people. He knows how bad people can get. So I understand him tightening his grip a little bit. Because I feel like being in that department, you've seen the worst of worst in people. And I feel like that might have shaped him to maybe see the worst in people a little easier than some of us.
Well, I think I have a lot of respect for the man because, and the way I'm going to put it is, I think a man probably packs around a wheelbarrow to carry his balls because he is very against the mainstream idea that, you know, even though I've committed a crime, I still have rights and I still deserve privileges and whatever else. And I think that I would agree with him that you have forfeit those at a certain point. Prime example is the three of us sitting here, we're not criminals. We don't go out of our way to break the law. We don't try to hurt other people. I mean, generally speaking, we are good people. And the fact that these, and it's a small percentage of them that are actually violent criminals, naturally. But if you're in prison, you did something violent most of the time.
Mm-hmm. Unless you're innocent.
Unless you're innocent, but
and then you're
but
screwed.
That goes completely into the judging system, and yeah. we'll touch down on that later.
That's
a different show,
right? And you know, and there's obviously some flaws in our system, our judicial system, as of late. But I do believe that you forfeit certain rights and privileges, and I don't care. You know, if you went out and you raped a little girl, or if you went out and you slaughtered your ex-wife, or anything like that, whatever the crime is, I don't care how poorly you're treated once you're incarcerated, because you forfeit your rights.
You put yourself there.
Every action has a reaction. Accept your consequences for what you did.
And the thing where I respect Sheriff Arpaio is because he's kind of trying to be the one that breaks the norm. So he's obviously going to get a lot of negative feedback.
Well, he's doing his thing.
Hopefully he pushes it, though, so other people see what he's doing and agree with it, and it's expanded to more jails and more.
Well, he's making a difference in saying it's not okay. He's actually saying, like, hey, you did something wrong. You deserve this. Not, oh, let's just slap him on the hands and treat him like everyone else.
And hope they change.
Right?
Well, he went back.
It's like Time Out and Kids.
After some 40-something years, I believe, and I can't remember the exact number of years, it was 40-something years of no state having any type of chain gang, he brought it back. Because he felt that if your ass is going to get fed, have a nice warm, you know, three hots and a cot kind of mentality, plus television occasionally, whatever, which he's taken most of those privileges away, and give them just the necessities of life, the survival things, the food, the water, the shelter, and the clothing, right? And he's put them saying, you know what, you're going to clean up our city. You're going to clean up our county. You're going to, you know, pull weeds, and you're going to do all these things to earn your keep, damn it.
Good.
Well,
good.
Yeah.
I hate the jail system for the fact that we pay for them to be in there. We give them their food.
They should give something back.
Yep. And he's not pushing on their civil rights because he's giving them what they need to survive. Sorry, it's not pretty. Sorry, it's not nice. But you only need this small amount to survive, and you can get just that bare minimum. You have to be an active member in society in order to reap the benefits. So go him for pushing that, because I hate the high incarceration amount for... This will be another topic, but sometimes we're paying for those people that are in there eating, and they're just in there eating. And
no, we are. That's what we kind of touched on.
We pay for that. We pay for that.
For them to live. They don't work for anything. They just sit there. They just eat. They just sleep.
They read their
book. Out here busting our butts, working our day in, day out jobs.
So why shouldn't they reciprocate any of that back? Go him for pushing that. Like,
no,
there needs to be a reciprocation there, because
greed.
I feel that if every sheriff in our country was under the same mentality as this man, that our expenditures, which is in the hundreds of millions every year,
it'd go down.
Would reduce significantly.
People wouldn't use jail as just a way to get out of life.
And you think about the
if they actually enforce the death sentence.
Oh yeah.
Imagine back in the day when it was eye for an eye.
Controversy.
Like literally, if they enforced the laws like back in the day, we'd have a lot less.
So you're okay. You're okay with the death penalty, Michelle?
Depending on the crime.
Depending on the crime. So where do you draw the line? Death for a death?
Yeah.
Is that where the line's drawn?
I draw it past death for death. I think a few other things.
Well, yeah.
The death
well, I
also.
Think pedophiles.
Pedophiles.
That's beyond disgusting.
Anything.
And if you have a sick mind like that, you better just get put out of your misery.
Because you're not just going to go to jail and fix that and go away. No. Sorry, that's how your brain works.
And
so.
You can claim, oh, I'm mentally messed up. I'm going to go to a psych ward.
Yeah. See, I'm torn. Okay, I agree with the death penalty just because I'm done with them being in our society. Get rid of them.
Well, yeah.
At the same time, I would love to have them locked up forever in Sheriff Arpaio's jail because death, they just die.
Or
I want them to suffer the rest of their life.
Or, you know, someone had a good theory. It's okay. It kind of goes back to gamer. You could almost put them on our front lines, like defend your country. And then if they die, they die. Oh, well. But
I like that, actually.
Right? Like, defend your country. If you love it so much, prove it. And if you come back, you might get, you know, maybe some reward.
Maybe
I don't know. Maybe you can maybe become free. Maybe they cut your time in half, depending on it. But if you die, then, oh, well.
Sorry.
Like, you're on the death sentence anyways.
Well, those are still human
like
beings,
that.
Though.
But
they're already in jail. We're paying for them.
Well, I know, but what I'm saying is those are still human beings. I mean, well, yeah. All of a sudden you're becoming very, almost like they did with the gladiators. Yeah, they were incarcerated, but they put them into this.
They were almost slaves, though. Not all of them committed crimes. Most of them, some of the gladiators were just because they robbed the entire city because they took it over and they made them slaves, not because they did something wrong. There are some differences there.
It changes per crime, and
it might just be the only people. It might just be the people who are on death row, maybe. So give them a chance to go redeem themselves. I don't know.
Personally, it costs next to nothing for our country or for our prison system to put a needle in somebody's arm, mm-hmm. take care of it, and then send the bill to their family.
See, that's the thing. Well, yeah. It's just
because
be done
personally,
with them.
Personally,
yeah, just enforce it.
Either I'm gonna cook this son of a bitch, and he's gonna get mixed into the vegetable garden, mm-hmm. or, you know, the firing squad's been brought up. We actually still have firing squad. Yes, we executed somebody recently in, what, the last year
what
and
was
a half?
It, like a year, two yeah, years? Yeah, yeah, I remember this.
And I'm not opposed to the death penalty. Matter of fact, I think that if Texas, who is one of the most prolific states right now with the death penalty, if they're doing it and it's working, why the hell are the rest of us not doing it?
Exactly.
See, and the thing is, I would love for them to just rot in that jail cell. But at the same time, we still have to pay for that. We still have to deal with them. Get them out of our society.
We're an overpopulated planet
anyway.
Why keep
the low grade?
Exactly. We're spending hundreds of millions of dollars to feed people that, realistically, they forfeit the rights.
And they don't care.
They made a conscious decision that forfeit their rights.
Exactly. And think about it this way. Goes back to everything. There's no consequence anymore. We tell them, oh, we're going to do this. And in their mind, oh, I have to go to jail for a few years. But if we enforce that and give them the death penalty, there actually might be less deaths.
People that are not in the jail system already will think twice before going into the system.
There's actually an issue. Like, there's actually something that bad would happen. There's a consequence.
Well,
an actual bad consequence.
You know, and then they'll be made aware of that. Mm-hmm. So if they still choose to push that boundary, then yes, death sentence. You knew before you committed that act. You knew that this would happen. So I agree with you. We need to do what we say, because right now they think that they can get away with it. Like, there's a 90% chance that they get away and just spend life in jail.
Well, that's the worst that could happen. You know, the worst that could happen is I get caught and I go to jail for a while.
And for a lot of these people, that's not scary. That's not giving them the motivation to change their life.
Exactly.
So what about let's say the 19-year-old kid that gets caught with whatever the over X amount of marijuana or methamphetamines or cocaine or whatever.
Was he distributing to little kids who cannot make a conscious decision? Like,
but he's
what
a young
was
man.
He?
He's a young man. At
what
19.
Was he convicted of, though? Just holding it?
Let's say it was just possession, but he ends up with 3 years in the state pen.
3 years?
Yeah.
No.
He breaks a certain, well, you know, and the thing is that's what's happening anymore, is they're taking these first-time offenders and they're saying, oh, well, you had 3 ounces of marijuana. So
personally, I think there could be a lot worse things that he could have done. And if it was just possession, not distribution, nothing else, that's a little ridiculous.
This brought up a little mini topic.
Bear with me for a second here, Ty. My problem is that we are creating a society of criminals, because we take them in under a first offense. Let's say even if there was distribution. I mean, you have to remember there's cultural things in the inner city that's survival. That's a way that I'm feeding, whether it be my younger mm-hmm. brothers or sisters or whatever. It's strictly survival. And to be honest with you, if that was the only means I had to, you know, feed my family, would I do it? It's likely.
Well, yeah.
Because that's what I'm doing as a decent human being. And if that's the means I have, that's the means I fell into. That is.
But like I
said, what they do is they take these young men and women, young, and I'm talking, you know, 16 to 20-year-old men and women, and they're institutionalizing them, and they're putting them into the prison systems, and they're learning to become better criminals on the inside. The reason I like what Sheriff Arpaio is doing is because he eliminates that institutionalized mentality in his prisons. Because
it sucks.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, exactly.
There is no gang, this and that, and whatever. Because if you want to be part of a gang, you're going to do that shit on the outside. This is my prison, bitch. And
here's
you're going to do
thing
things
really fast,
my way.
Before we stray too far away from your previous point, because it really coincided with what you said. There was a man that went to jail for 55 years for having a certain amount of marijuana. There was a rapist that raped 4 women.
Who got off less?
That went to jail for 25 years.
Yeah, and see, this is my point with our systems. We need to have our priorities. So, like, when you're raising your kids, for example, there are certain levels of how mad you should be at them. Oh, you spilled your cup of milk. Don't ground them for a week. And then, you know, they do something worse, like they hurt their younger sibling and only ground them for, like, half a week. Like, you have to have your priorities straight. So, picture the worst thing. If we're going in the scenario of a death for a death, like a life for a life, that's the worst case scenario. And then you go down from there.
See, it's not even a life for a life. You rape someone, you have fucked their life. That is ruined their brain.
That's a life for a life.
For life.
That's still a life.
True, true. And that's the thing is they go away for 25 years. They're not going to die in that prison cell. They're going to get out.
Yeah. And then they'll probably do it again. Not always. There are some cases.
So what you're saying is the punishment should fit the crime.
And yes.
But it should be fair.
Let's go back to Moses.
Stricter.
Eye for an eye. It should be. Well, they need to get their priorities, like she's saying. You know, there's other cases where, like, for example, the marijuana issue. They're getting more time in prison than someone who actually hurt someone. Mm-hmm. Like,
so who?
You could go into it if he got nailed with distribution. You could go in if someone he, you know, sold to got hurt. You could go into that. But once that person bought it, that's their own problem.
What did they do with it?
Ownership
again.
Yeah. Own up to what you're doing. Every action has a reaction.
Who would decide which crimes would be considered heinous crimes and which ones wouldn't then?
That's where we need our democracy back. That's where we need actual people who can speak for us as people. That's when we need to trust our representatives again and actually feel like their voice is being heard.
So you mean republic, not democracy?
Yeah.
Well, she means she wants the people to have a voice.
So
yeah,
the republic. Ooh, it's a republic.
But we run under a democracy. Like, that is our form of government.
We are a democratic republic.
Okay.
She wants every single person to have their opinion where it all comes together and we can agree.
Thank you.
On something.
Yes, that's what I meant. This is why Michelle's here.
Okay.
Almost like a poll.
Sweet girl talk. That's what I'm saying.
She understands where I was going.
I understand.
She knew where
you.
I was going.
I understand.
I may have said the wrong words, but she knew. Because, yes. Hear my voice.
Hear me roar.
We just need to get back to having our priorities straight and sticking to them.
In all aspects. And everything we've talked about tonight, like, honestly, it all goes back to the same thing. Everyone just needs to have their own priorities straight. Everyone needs to go by what they say.
Well, and do unto others what you want undone to you.
Exactly. Like, it's so simple. The sad thing is it's so simple.
It really is.
We as the younger age group can see that. What is wrong with these old men that are running our country?
We need a woman in office.
Yes. Yes. Michelle, no. You can be president. I'll just be your secretary. You can say the words and I'll just be the best.
Well, you know what? I don't think my seventh grade teacher told me that once. We wouldn't have to worry about a woman, going golfing
all the time.
No.
They would be going on spa days.
Hey, we'd be relaxed all the time.
Why is that bad? We'll relax.
Hey, it would set our moods back to normal.
And yeah, no, we'll get all that stress out and then come back renewed and ready to go.
Can you see that today?
Today, executive order
for taking rights away. And tomorrow, holiday, national holiday.
With like a nice hot rock back massage. And you know, I will come back so happy.
On one point, though, I think women might pay attention to detail more.
Agreed.
Does our emotions get in the way? I would probably say, yeah, our emotions would get in the way, but we would pay attention to detail.
But with our emotions, we have more of that compassionate side. I feel like as a woman and the emotions, you're able to see the people a little better.
You have a bigger empathy chick, I think.
Yes.
Chip, I think.
Chip.
Chick.
Chip.
Let's just inject those chips into the men and then our country will be great.
they can feel what we're feeling. That would be horrible.
I don't know. Another time in my life, I have felt more out of place than I do all of a sudden.
You brought up girl talk. Not our fault.
No. It's interesting because women, I think, have certain attributes that would definitely benefit us as a society in key leadership roles. Mm-hmm. The problem that we have is we as a society put so much emotional value on things that are supposed to be business related. And because we do that, you know, women feel obligated to be emotional wrecks at times, or they feel obligated to do the mainstream version of, like you said, the spa day and the relaxation and the, you know, paint my nails and get together as a girl. And the guys feel like we have to get together and watch football or baseball or basketball and drink beer and smoke cigars. And it all comes down to the
I have smoked a cigar.
The mainstream. Not
too bad. I have too.
And I think we lose a piece of ourselves when we don't study, you know, and it goes back, Ty, not to pick on you tonight, to the fact that folks do believe we're a democracy, which is not the case at all. We are a democratic republic, meaning that we, the people, make the choices. We are the creator. And until we're willing to stand up and say, hey, you know, we want things the way that we want them, not the way that you in a leadership or a powerful position feel you want it.
I admit I'm new getting back into politics. I was the person that didn't care about politics. So and you opened my eyes. So thank you for that. I needed it.
You're very welcome.
But I still feel happy with how I stood just because I worded it wrong. So.
Oh, no, you're fine. Okay. And I think your point was very valid. And on that note, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for yet another hour of your very valuable time. It's Terrence, Michelle, and Tyra on tonight's version.
Tell us what you think. We want your comments. Give us your voice, not just our voice.
Let us hear your opinion.
And you all have a very, very beautiful February 2nd, 2014.